Welcome to the Strangers and Aliens podcast.
Strangers. To boldly say what needs to be said.
Would you be a stranger or an alien? Or would you be a strange alien?
The truth is out there. I am your father's best friend, Plumber. Superman.
Wonder Woman.
Heroes. Villains. Captain Picard versus Captain Kirk.
Do you think that there's room in sci-fi for God? The very first thing that God did,
so wise you are,
was that he created something, so we have a creative God.
This is Strangers and Aliens Podcast.
Hello, and welcome back to the Strangers and Aliens Podcast. This is episode 2 of the podcast, where three guys who may or may not be geeks talk about science fiction and faith and fantasy, and I change up the beginning slightly with that caveat of the may or may not be geeks because Jace complained last week that I called him a geek.
Actually, wait, but I don't think changing it up helped, because whenever you kind of say may or may not be geeks, you're pretty much saying are geeks anyway.
Yeah.
Okay, so we'll change it up again next week, I guess. But I actually realized we had to change up anyway because that sounded exactly like the opening to another podcast I listened to that I guess I was channeling without even thinking. They say that exact same thing where this is the podcast where two geeks talk about da-da-da-da. And I was listening to their podcast and I realized, oh, that's why I said that. So
you're a geek.
You know, good art is stealing from the right people, right?
Yeah. I kind of like what we came up with one geek, a geezer, and a guy.
Here's what actually I'd like to go with, I think, is this is another one of your ideas, Dr. Jace, is we're the sci-fi guys. I like that.
Yeah, I like that too. The sci-fi guys.
Okay, so we'll keep that in the back pocket for next time.
Yeah, but, sure. Can we trademark that?
I'm pretty sure people use it already. So
yeah. Well, we could be like, one of us could be like the sci-fi guy, one could be like the fantasy fella, and the other one could be the superhero something.
Yeah, that's football on here.
Yeah. I'm the superhero something. And
hey, wait a minute.
No, that doesn't
work. I think we should draw straws or something.
I'll be the fantasy fella.
Yeah, I'm just going to stick with, I'm Ben Avery. And I'm co-host, and I'm going to now turn it over to Dr. Jace. Dr. Jace, would you please introduce yourself if people didn't listen to the first episode?
Hi, I'm Dr. Jace. Steve, over to you.
Hi, I'm Steve McDonald.
And the three of us are, you know, we are sci-fi guys. We enjoy science fiction, fantasy, works of imaginative fiction, and, you know, but we're also all three Christians. We're believers, and so we're exploring these kind of sci-fi ideas and maybe some of these sci-fi titles and different genres and just all that kind of thing, and we're looking at it and kind of looking at why we like it, but also looking at why we like it through the lens of, you know, this strikes a chord within us as believers. So today's topic is time travel, and I thought we might start out with just making sure we're on the same page, that we have some of the same reference points, that I was thinking of, you know, different time travel stories that are out there and movies and books and that sort of thing. And wanted to make sure that we're kind of able to, as we're discussing this, hit the same touchstones. So, of course, the first thing that comes to mind when you think of time travel for me is Back to the Future.
Of course. Okay. Yes.
How about you, Steve? Back to the Future. You there?
I would be the Micronauts time traveler guy there. They'd never picked it up in the comic books. It was just like this action figure time traveler. You didn't know what he did. It was just like this cool action figure, and I played with him a lot. And
I had that action figure, actually.
That was a cool one. But that's I guess
it was it was not a cool figure.
It was the
worst of the Micronauts figures.
I must have missed that one, guys.
Yeah, Micronauts, you know, they were in Japan, and then they brought them over to the States because Star Wars action figures were kind of hot, right. You know? and they were kind of the same size, but you could like mix and match the pieces because they're all magnetic. And the time travel was the worst one of the bunch, and that's the only one I had.
I liked it.
So
actually, what actually comes first to my mind is H.G. Wells' Time Machine story.
Yes.
And we've
yes.
all read that. Is that?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which is one of the things that, that drew me into, you know, speculative fiction and stuff like that.
Spoiler alert, in The Time Machine, a man uses a machine to travel through time.
Gosh, and Ben, you always have to do that. You always have to ruin it for everybody.
I gave the alert. You had time to take off your headphones. I'm sorry.
Right. Yes. Now I don't have to read the story.
Yeah. I'm done.
What about you, Jace? You got some to add to the mix here? Because these are things we're going to be referring to, I'm pretty sure.
Well, you know, you took two of the biggest ones. Obviously, it's Back to the Future, The Time Machine. But there's a lot of things out there, you know, that like Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure, which is a completely different take.
Yeah, yeah. And then you have Terminator.
Yes, Terminator.
And, of course, we're missing the huge, the biggest one, of course. And that's because this is all about self-promotion for me.
I'm hearing self-promotion.
Yeah, yeah. It's Time Flies.
Right,
you
right.
know, which is, you know, that epic series about time traveling.
Hey, flies. You know, next time, if we just want to if we want to promote one of your things, just let me. I'll bring it up, so you don't have to bring up your own. Just let me know, and I'll just bring it up.
Well, yeah, but I don't think you could do it.
You don't think I could promote you as well as you promote
you? I want
you?
People to buy the book. And,
oh, gotcha.
No, but
there's just something about self promotion that just puts it over the top.
I can't
take away from it.
But I just love it when I hear a politician self promote. It just makes me want to vote for him.
Yeah. So, but the point being, this is something that has captured my imagination since I was, you know, a kid, and my first published comic book was about time travel.
Yeah.
And then I have the Time Flies series, and I've always been just enamored with time travel as far as a sub-genre of the science fiction genre. Does that make sense? A sub-genre of the science fiction genre?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
You have to have a genre to have a sub-genre. It
didn't fit in my head for some reason.
no, so many comments, but I'm going to let it fly.
But I remember one of the first things, you know, as a kid, I watched a show called Voyagers, and I was wondering if you guys had seen this show at all, either of you. It's about a kid, and he actually gets picked up by a time traveler in his apartment, and the time traveler got there because his time machine little pocket watch thing malfunctioned and sent him to 1982, and he wasn't supposed to go past 1974. And he leaves his guidebook, which has all of history written in it, in the kid's apartment because he saves the kid's life jumping out of a window because the kid fell out of the window. And so then you have their adventures, and it's this kid who was basically my age traveling through time with this swashbuckling pirate-type guy.
I think I missed that.
Yeah, I missed that one too.
I remember it
being a thing, but I remember actively not watching it.
It was a really expensive show, and so it got canceled after one season. But my kids watch it on DVD with me now.
Cool.
And, you know, the guy who played the main time traveler, the adult, he actually died the year after because he played a cop on a cop show, and he had a gun with blanks in it and put it to his head just joking around. And
Let me ask you guys this.
Or did you have more to say, Ben?
Well, I was just going to say that show was all about fixing time.
Oh, okay.
You know, and that was the big thing. And so you can see traces of that in my own writing now.
Right.
It's definitely – in fact, I put them into a page in one of the Time Flies books was just this reference to all these different time traveling things. Oh, Planet of the Apes. That's another one.
Right. Yeah. That is. But you don't know that until, you know, later on.
Yeah.
But let me ask you this. What are your top five time traveling movies? If you quickly had to make a list of your top five, what would they be? Steve, you go first.
Wow.
Way to put him on the spot.
Exactly.
I've got time to write them down. Hang on.
Yeah. Well, the Time Machine movie that came out in the 70s, I think Pierce Brosnan played the lead. I'm not sure, but that was it sort of put that whole thing into an iconic realm for me. So I'd have to put that at the top. Buck Rogers, which, if you want to consider the first pilot episode, I think they actually did release it in a small way in theaters.
It was a motion picture release. Yeah. I'm not sure if it was in the United States, but yeah.
Sure. But that was great as a kid. I mean, right after Star Wars, you had this Buck Rogers TV show come out, and then it was Battlestar Galactica and stuff. So that was fantastic at the time. And you know, I'll still catch the odd show when they rerun it. Let's see. I'm trying to limit it to movies as well.
He's on the spot, man. What do you
see? I can think of some, but I can't just throw them into a top five just because of the first ones that come.
Okay, well, let's go to Ben. We'll come back to Steve.
All right, I'm going to go Back to the Future 1, 2, and 3. That counts as one.
Okay. Yes. Okay. Agreed. Trilogy. Okay.
Terminator 1 and 2. Terminator 3 doesn't exist. Terminator Salvation, I don't care about. But Terminator 1 and 2, that counts as another one. This is in no particular order, by the way. Star Trek 4,
right,
which is a great, you know, just fun time travel story. Okay.
They go back to the '80s.
Yeah. Well, and that's just it. That's what made it fun. It was low budget and everything. But it's a movie called I think it's called Time After Time, which is about H.G. Wells following Jack the Ripper through time to present day San Francisco.
And, you know, Ben, you said Time After Time. Now I just have that dumb song in my head. Thank you for that.
You know, Cyndi Lauper.
Yeah.
It's a great song. I love that song.
That's four. I've
been trying to forget that.
Okay, I think we're going to make a new rule for the podcast.
No singing. No. No Cyndi Lauper or no singing?
Yes.
Is it just me no singing, or can you guys sing?
No, I'm not going to claim that one. I can't sing worth a lick, and I'm guessing Ben doesn't either.
No, I do. I traveled with a group in college and sang. I was in choir all through college and in high school, and I had a band in college, a kind of punk,
that's hilarious,
rock rap band. That
I'd love to see that.
Yeah, it was
your fifth one.
Yeah, that's I can't think of it. I can't think of a fifth. Planet of the Apes.
Okay.
Again, putting the whole series in as one story.
Right.
But there's five. And actually, that's more than five. That's what? Three Back to the Futures.
Yeah.
Two Terminators, a Star Trek, a Planet of the Apes, which is, you know, five movies there. So we're talking 12, 13 movies.
You definitely maximized your slots. That's good.
Yeah.
All right.
How about you, Dr. Jace? We're going to need a little more time.
Steve, do you have any more time or do you have yours?
You know, I'm the type of person where if you hit me with what's your top five, I would have to sit down and really. We did a thing on the other podcast.
Yeah, I was just going to bring that up.
Supposed to be our top 10 Saturday morning cartoons, and then my list topped 50. So.
Wow.
But he said the list in under, well, it was under a minute, wasn't it?
It was one breath.
Yeah, that's right. It was one breath.
They gave me one breath to do as many as I could, and I did the whole list in one breath. So.
Okay, how about in 10 seconds? They don't have to be in any order. 10 seconds, if they would be in your top 20 at least.
Okay. What is it? Harry Potter 3, Harry Potter 4, the one where Hermione has the time turner. That was really interesting, especially the book was more interesting than that.
10 seconds are up. Automatically, 10 seconds up.
Star Trek that you mentioned, especially if when it goes into the series, it has a lot of different time going back and forth, especially the Next Generation. Let's see, there was actually a movie with Sandra Bullock in it, and
The Lake House.
Yeah, it had an interesting. I mean, it wasn't a great movie, but it had interesting elements.
You knew that
really
quickly.
Real quick.
Like, you just pulled that right out.
I did my research before I asked the question.
That
was disturbing. Let's see. Oh, boy. I'm trying. I mean, I have some ones that deal with time, but they're not actually time travel movies. And there's some that aren't actual movies. Like, there's a lot of old-time radio shows and memes that they used where, and I'd like to get into this a little bit, where Like someone goes back in time to do a certain thing, for instance, to stop the assassination of Abraham Lincoln. And for some reason they can't, because in that time travel device, time can't be changed. You couldn't go back and kill your grandfather before he had your father. You know, you couldn't kill someone to prevent yourself from being born.
Okay, so Steve, we're going to stop you there so that we can get Dr. Jace's top five, and then we can get into some of these big ideas.
Okay.
So, Jace, what do you got for us?
Top five. You're on the spot.
Yeah.
No, he planned this ahead of time. He's not on the spot.
Well, no, I was just going to see if I could take as much time as Steve does. Let's see here. Obviously, I'm going to take the same route that Ben took. Back to the Future, 1, 2, and 3, hands down. I hope they do a remake or a sequel, or I hope they do something with it, because I love that concept.
I never saw number 3. Can you believe that? I never saw it.
Well, I'm going to say that I'm going to put a shocker out there. You guys kept mentioning Star Trek 4. Well, I'm going to argue that Star Trek 4 is not even the best time travel in the whole franchise. I'm going to go Star Trek First Contact.
That's something we can talk about later when we get into some of these big ideas, because they both – they kind of tackle time travel from different directions. And then you also have the last Star Trek movie.
Of course. And, right? And don't take my thunder there. Yeah. And Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure, the first one of the Bill and Ted, I just think is a totally different take. It was fun at the time. I don't know if it lasts well. I don't know if it ages well. But when I first saw it, I just loved it. And I'd say Groundhog Day. It's kind of a time trap, kind of a loop.
Yeah, that's an interesting choice.
Yeah, I like variety in my list. And then, you know, you already mentioned the newest Star Trek, so I don't have to mention that one. But I'm going to go in a different route, because it gets in one of my favorite stories, is the Muppet Christmas Carol. I'm going to go there because I love A Christmas Carol. I absolutely love it. And I believe that the Muppet version may be my favorite version of all of it, because I love the Muppets. So
I would agree with that, definitely.
Wow.
Yeah, that's my list.
I think Patrick Stewart might do a better Scrooge.
Yes, I agree.
But but he doesn't have the fantastic supporting cast.
So. Oh, right. And
lines, Michael Caine is really good. It's Michael Caine, right?
Yeah, Michael Caine is amazing. Yeah,
he does a great job. Don't get me wrong, but
yeah, Stewart. There's no argument with me. Patrick Stewart is probably, if not the favorite, my top three or five favorite actors of all time. So,
okay, I left one out, and I'm trying to remember if it was in the movie or not. And it might not have been in the movie, but it was in the TV series, and it was definitely in the book series, and it was absolutely in the radio series. And that is Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. There is so much time travel bouncing around here and there, everywhere, alternate universes. I mean, everything. He throws everything in there.
Yes, definitely.
But I can't remember if it was in the actual theatrical
movie. I don't remember it in the movie. I caught a cheater on that one.
I'm not cheating. I'm saying I don't remember. That's why I didn't put it in my list. But I do love this quote from the book, and I think it's in every variation except for maybe the movie, but it's time is an illusion, lunchtime doubly so.
So first of all, let's get back to it, because Steve was basically going in a direction that we're going to have to talk about at some point anyway, is whether or not, because some stories, when you go back in time, even if you step on a butterfly, you could completely alter the history completely. Right. And then in some universes, no matter what you do, you really can't change anything. And to me, it's pretty obvious that depending on who's writing it, you're pretty much talking about free will versus predestination and what your background is and what you believe. Because, you know, each story, if you believe that everything is predestined or believe in fate or something like that, then you're going to believe that no matter what you do, everything was always meant to be that way. However, if you believe in free will, you believe that anything can change.
Yeah, and that's where you have Star Trek 4 and you have Star Trek First Contact, which one goes one way, one goes the other. In Star Trek 4, you have them going back in time. Dr. McCoy cures a lady's kidney, which she didn't have a kidney and it grew back because he gave her a pill. And Mr. Scott invents transparent aluminum. Mm-hmm. And as they're walking out, Dr. McQuay says, they don't have that technology. You just gave it to them. And Mr. Scott just says, well, how do we know it wasn't the guy who invented it that I just gave it to? So in other words, Scott, you know, Mr. Scott invented or caused to be invented transparent aluminum. But then you have First Contact, which has the Borg going back in time to change history. Now, we can get into the specifics of why their plan is a bad plan, but they go back in time to change history, and Captain Picard and his crew have to go back in time to stop them from changing history.
Right.
And They end up changing history a little bit themselves. But then you also have Terminator 1 and Terminator 2, which both are a different take on it as well.
Right.
Because in Terminator 1, you have John Connor's father being sent back in time to stop a Terminator from killing John Connor's mother. But then they end up, the Terminator going back in time to kill John Connor's mother is the inciting incident to cause John Connor to actually be born. So there's no free will there. It's predestination.
Yeah.
If they hadn't traveled through time, John Connor wouldn't have been born. But they were traveling in time to stop that from happening.
That's interesting. I hadn't really thought about – I hadn't broken down each of those time stories like that. But let me ask you this. Do you guys think that you can enjoy a story, a time-traveling story, even if – and I don't know – I actually don't know what you guys believe on this – even if it goes against your personal theology or worldview as far as that subject of free will versus predestination? What do you guys think?
I can, as long as it doesn't directly attack something I hold to be true. For instance, if someone wrote a time travel story where they go back in time to prove that Jesus didn't die on the cross. For instance, Last Temptation of Christ, you can almost see it as a sort of time travel story because they're examining what might have happened if something changed in that whole thing. Although in the context of the story, it's a last temptation and he doesn't take it and then he dies. But of course, a lot of people have a problem with it because it depicts Christ in a certain way. But if someone did a story like that where they're saying, this is what I think actually happened, we're taking Christ out of history, so you have nothing to believe in, et cetera, I would have a problem with that because they're just attacking something. It's just an attack piece. But when it comes down to just simply, you know, hey, here's the predestination way. Hey, here's the free will way. As it, you know, as long as the story is told well, is acted well, you know, the ideas are fresh, the ideas are fun. You know, I can appreciate either one. As long as, you know, it does prove its statement within the context of the film. Or the piece, you know.
Yeah, because ultimately it's about for me, what's successful about a story is what the characters learn in going through the story. You know, and so, like with Terminator, let's say. In Terminator 2, it's all about free will. And the characters are learning we can change the future. That's part of the message with that. And that's a true message. Now, the movie itself, you know, you can go one way or the other with far as, you know, there's a lot of violence, there's a lot of this, that, and the other thing, and there's other issues involved. But when you're looking at just the time travel aspect, the characters are getting this idea of free will out of it, that they are going to stop Judgment Day from happening, and they're going to stop this war that's caused these Terminators to come back in time, that's caused all this bad stuff to happen. They're going to stop it. Of course, then you have Terminator 3, which I don't know if you guys have seen, but that's all about the same idea, but from the point of view that you can't stop it because it's set. And what do the characters get out of that? And that's just not a well-written story. So that offends me not as a Christian and not as, you know, going against maybe my theology. That offends me as a creator that it's not a very good story.
Right. Yeah.
But yeah, to me, it's what the characters are getting out of it. And so I can watch these different you know, time travel things. The other thing is it's imaginary.
Right.
Nobody is saying to me, this is what time travel will be like, and because you can't. I mean, let's face facts here on this too. We cannot prove time travel one way or another.
Right.
Because we can't do it.
Not yet.
Maybe in the future we can. And I know that there is a sort of time travel that actually does happen, and that's time dilation, where, you know, time slows down for you, the faster you, the closer you get to the speed of light. And so our satellites, some of our satellites up around the Earth are traveling so fast that I think it's like they gain, no, they lose a billionth of a second every day.
Mm-hmm.
Or something infinitesimal like that, where their clocks are getting off from our clocks here on Earth because they're moving much closer to the speed of light. So, you know, that is a form of time travel, and that's the time travel you find in the very beginning of Planet of the Apes. The first one,
right.
You know, is they find out, okay, we're going so fast, we know that when we get home, everything we knew is going to be gone because for us it's been decades, for them it's been centuries.
I think I would agree with you guys. You know, from a story perspective, you know, what's interesting is that depending on the type of story that it is, you get something different out of it. So if you get like if it's one of those pieces where you can't change anything, then when you apply it to your own life, you're like, well, some things are out of your hands, so I just have to deal with what I've got now. But the free will stories, it's kind of like, well, I'm an individual. I can make a difference. What I do today can make a difference. I can be a good husband. I can, mm-hmm. you know, I think you get different things out of it. And,
go ahead.
I was going to say, I was going to ask you guys, if you were writing a story, a time travel story, which would you fall on? Would you pick one that where you can't change, or would you pick one where anything you do could change everything?
Well, I've done both. You know, my first time travel story, the timepiece, which is I'm not embarrassed of it, but it is my first real long form work of comic books that I wrote. And that whole thing, the whole thrust of the story is a guy decides he's going to go back in time and kill Hitler. And when he finally gets there, he finds that he can't affect anything around him. He shoots.
Right.
And I can't remember. I think I took the coward's way out and had him accidentally shoot. The bullet accidentally got fired, but the bullet hits wood and the bullet crumples because it's like hitting a stainless steel wall. And he tries to pick up a feather pen. This is in Hitler's jail cell when he was writing Mein Kampf. He tries to pick up a feather pen. He can't even move the feather because the past is set in stone. But what he learns from that and what he takes back with him when he returns home and confronts the man who killed his wife is he learned, I can't change the past, but I can change the future. I can affect the future. And that is that whole free will thing. Meanwhile, in Time Flies, you've got these flies who are scurrying around history to stop a spider. It's all ages. It makes sense when you're reading, okay? But they're trying to stop a spider from changing history. And so they're, you know, trying to get things back the way they're supposed to be. In that case, you've got them, you know, you can change time. It really, for me, it's what suits, what suits the story, what suits the characters, what suits the message you want the characters to be learning. And in that case, what suits the message that you want your readers to walk away with?
Because no story is about time travel. You know, stories are about love or vengeance or desire or whatever. There's, you know, tons of different things that they can be about. But none of them are about time travel. Time travel is always the device. So you can have a love story looked at from, you know, a science fiction love story or a classic love story or a fairy tale love story or, you know, a paperback novel love story. And they're all looking at the same type of thing. But everything, all the other trappings, it's just stuff. It's the window dressing. It's the frame around it. And what's really interesting is what you're looking at, you know, the central thing in the picture. So, you know, when you look at time travel and you say, you know, well, it can be about free will, it can be about predestination, as long as it frames what it's supposed to frame, then it works, you know? So,
well, let's look at some of these picture frames, though, because I, you know, you say no stories about time travel.
Right.
I think there might be one. It's been a while since I've read it, though, and that's the time machine itself, which is basically the grandfather of all of these time travel stories that we're getting, the modern time travel story. There are some other, you know, stories about characters going to the future, Rip Van Winkle sleeping to the future, and that sort of thing. But mm-hmm. Time Machine is basically the grandfather as far as the
right.
The, you know,
science fiction. Yeah.
Yeah, here's a machine that goes through time and everything. To that one, to me, that doesn't feel like there's a character arc to that story. The main character, I don't feel like he really goes through a change. Now, this is me responding to this a couple years after I've read it. But
couldn't the time travel, though, be seen as like a social commentary, though?
Well, H.G. Wells definitely wrote social commentaries. I mean, that was his big thing, is he's commenting on society. And a lot of, you know, C.S. Lewis's Out of the Silent Planet is basically a response to some of H.G. Wells' humanistic and even a little nihilistic writings. I mean, it's a direct response to that, saying, okay, well, here's a look at science fiction through a Christian cosmology. H.G. Wells definitely was writing about society, but I didn't feel like he was writing about – and so I guess in that case, I'm wrong. Because he was writing about society. Yeah, he wasn't writing about time travel.
I have to agree on Steve on this one. I think that – I mean, obviously some time travel is more in a movie, but I agree that it's a device. It would be interesting to see what a movie would look like if the movie was about time travel. In fact, you know, I was looking – as I said before I asked the question about your top five, I was looking at the top like 50 time travel movies, and I was surprised that there aren't that many, and I'm sitting there thinking they need to make more time travel movies.
Right. Well, yeah. I mean, it's interesting because there are so many of them, but you don't realize sometimes that it's a movie that is addressing some sort of time machine, time travel, time, you know, like any there was an Adam Sandler movie that was a comedy, and he had a remote control that could stop things. And if you think about it, that's time travel. Yeah. You know, right. He is affecting time in a way that he can move in ways that other people can't.
But here's one reason why you don't get too many time travel movies. And that's like Voyagers, which was canceled because every episode took place in two different time periods that weren't now. I mean, there's budget reasons. And so on one hand, you have the budget is causing time travel movies not to be made. But on the other hand, you have like Time After Time, which hardly any of it takes place in Victorian England. Most of it takes place in, at the time, you know, 70s San Francisco. And then you also have Star Trek IV. Every single Star Trek movie, they were cutting the budget since the motion picture.
Yeah,
and they get Star Trek IV, and they had to cut it even more. Well, what's one thing you can do? Well, we could go back in time to modern
right, but I think it's with all the computer technology, the green screen technology, I can't imagine that a time machine movie would be cost more than Harry Potter or Iron Man. So I think that it's actually a really – if you were to sit there and you were to ask a general person what is the best time travel movie out there, the majority of people – I'm not talking about even sci-fi fans – The two ones that are going to come up the most, probably, at least especially with younger people, are Back to the Future and the Terminator series. Mm-hmm. And those are kind of, you know, it's been a while. It's been a while since you've had a really good time travel franchise.
Yeah, and that's just it, though. I think it's part of it is budget. Part of it is also you start alienating your broad base of people when you go to other time periods. If someone's not interested in, you know, well, you know, Star Trek First Contact, you know, originally that was written, they weren't going to go back to Zefram Cochran in the near future. You know where they were originally going to go?
Where?
No. To like Renaissance England or something. I mean, it was going to be like this way back in the past.
Mm-hmm.
Way back in the past. And it was a completely different movie. But again, budget. You got budget. Now, yeah, I see what you're saying about virtual sets and stuff like that, you know, Dr. Jace. But on the other hand, we don't have it down yet where that actually looks great. It still looks fake to me.
Like, you don't think any of you think the superhero movies look fake?
I'm talking about like 300. I'm talking about these where they're creating.
Well, the 300 was filmed that – it's a totally different filming style, and that's right. He filmed it to look like that.
And it looked bad, but I mean I'm talking about those movies where they're trying to build the virtual set.
Harry Potter is the same type of thing, and do you think that looks fake?
Yeah, I haven't seen any of the modern Harry Potter. I've seen the first two, I think. And I don't know how much of that was real, how much of that was virtual. So, I was bugged by some of the special effects in the first one. I'm just saying there's still a budget thing, and you're taking a risk spending the budget on the effects of alienating a section of your audience who is not interested in the time period that you're going to.
All right.
Which is why, Back to the Future worked because it was an 80s guy going to the 50s. And we were all 80s guys and our parents were from the 50s.
Right.
Terminator works because it's people from the future coming to now. And, the first Terminator, basically it's a slasher movie where people are just, he's going around killing people. And you don't find out it's a time travel movie until over halfway through.
Right.
But
So basically, what if we did a modern person going back to the 1980s now? I think they should relaunch. I'm talking to you.
That'd be interesting.
I'm talking to you, Ralph Winter, producer of all these movies. I've had a chance to meet on a couple times. Ralph Winter, Lynn Productions, who did the Sherlock Holmes movies. I'm talking to you, too.
Wait. I'm sorry. Sherlock Holmes worked.
No. That's what I'm saying.
I'm apologizing because Sherlock Holmes worked. That worked. I liked it, and mm-hmm. I was never taken out of the movie saying, "Oh, bad."
Okay. Well, I accept your apology, Ben. But I'm talking. you interrupted my call out. I'm talking to you, producers. Bring us some good time travel movies that would be appealing to us sci-fi fans and the popular, people. But let me ask you guys. We've talked about. We were talking about budgets and stuff, but before we were talking about free will, predestination, if we were to assume that we could affect the past, I ask you two, is there a time in your personal life that you would travel back and change your decisions?
I would go back to the beginning of this podcast and I would make it so you never ask the 5 movie question.
It would be difficult for me at this point because I see my life sometimes as a tapestry of failure that has woven something out of it so miraculously different than all those experiences you could ever think about putting them together. I mean, I have a wonderful wife, wonderful kids, wonderful family, the place where I'm living. I mean, all this stuff comes from all those bad mistakes that I made and all the wrong choices and all these different things.
And good mistakes and good choices.
Yeah. Okay. Yes. But I don't see those as much. I don't see those as much affecting where I am and who I am now. So it would be very difficult. I wish that I could be in this exact place. If I could have the prescience to know that I could be in this exact place and time with nothing changed except for, I've just made all the right choices and they just led me to this point. But I think even at that point, I would say to myself, all those right choices could lead me to this point. All the wrong choices could lead me to this point. I think I would despair a little bit and say, so there's nothing I could have done differently. There's nothing sometimes it's a good thing because, I know that God has everything in his hands and everything's going to work out exactly the way he wants to, even if we mess up, excruciatingly. But, it would be very different to know that I would be in the exact same position if I made all perfectly right choices and if I made all perfectly wrong choices.
You're talking really serious. I'm thinking I would definitely go back. I would go back and tell the 5th grade me that mullet did not work. I would definitely go back so I would not give my children ammo for my haircut. So right. I would go back and change things. I don't know if I would change huge things, but there were definitely things that I think that I would go back and change that wouldn't necessarily affect me hugely today. But I don't know, Ben.
I can't think of anything. I mean, not that I had a the perfect life, but I don't have like any moment in time where it's like, oh my goodness. I would maybe go back and encourage young me. You know, hey, they're making fun of you because you like Star Trek, but guess what? you like
Strangers and Aliens is coming.
Yeah, you're going to do a podcast.
A what cast?
You're going to do a podcast, and people might even listen to it. And no, I mean, all that stuff, the serious answer, like Steve is saying, all that stuff makes you into what you are now. I can take that serious answer and turn it into so you're going the Captain Kirk route of I need my pain because it makes me who I am, from Star Trek 5. I don't want my pain to come.
I need my pain.
Hey, Star Trek 5, man, that's got to be a topic someday about the search for God.
Yeah.
But
yeah, that would be interesting.
Maybe it would be interesting. It could also be really, really bad and no one would listen to it, just like no one watches it.
I know. That was one of my favorite Star Trek films for a long, long time.
Well, I like it as an episode, but we're getting way off topic here. Because there's no time travel in that one.
Digressing.
Yeah. But, I can't think of anything I go back and change. Looking back, I didn't change much. I mean, if you look at my school pictures from kindergarten through high school, the only thing that changed was my shirt and the size of my head. Because I had the same haircut from the time I had hair until now, today, probably.
Wow. You'd probably be
the same smile too. I have this toothless smile, so I just don't open my mouth when I smile.
Well, you'd probably be a good actor then, because most of those actors have gigantic heads.
Yeah, but we're not talking metaphorically here. We weren't talking about big heads. We're talking about my head got bigger because my skull grew.
Okay.
So,
sure.
Yeah, so I kind of go along with Steve, with that whole I need my pain kind of thing. I look at my life right now, and if I did change something, my life would be totally different. I wouldn't have my 5 kids, and some people might say that that'd be a good thing.
I assure you, I mean, there's nothing like – so you think that, instead of wearing that really embarrassing shirt in junior high school and everyone made fun of you, you think that would change your entire history?
Well, yeah. I mean, it's that I do believe if you can change history, I think that the butterfly effect is very much a reality where – a tiny change can have huge consequences forward. If it's possible to change history.
Or if it's not a reality, it's too much. If it's even a possibility, it's too much of a possibility to give it the chance to do that.
Yeah.
Like I wouldn't want to say, I'll gamble with it and go back in time and do just one little thing.
I guess I'm going with Captain Picard's version of it, because there was I can't remember the episode, but somebody comes back in time and to them, to the current with Picard and his Enterprise with Worf and Data and all them. And they're like, if you do this, it's going to change our future. And he goes, I'm only worried about ours. If it changes, so for me, I don't know. Maybe it would change things. Maybe it would. I don't know. But
think about it. You go back in time and you just tell your old self, lose the haircut, right?
Right.
Lose the haircut, man, because people are going to take pictures of that haircut. It's going to go in family albums. Your children are going to see it, and it's going to be embarrassing. You're going to bring your wife home to see your family, or your girlfriend home to see your family. They're going to bring out the pictures and. They're going to laugh at your expense, okay?
Tiny thing. I hid my wife from my family. What do you think? I knew if she met them, it was over with.
Bottom line, it's a tiny, tiny thing. But what happens when you change your haircut and you either become a little bit less popular because you got a mohawk instead, okay, or popular with a different crowd now, or you get a little more clean-cut haircut or whatever, you've changed some of your friendships there.
Yeah,
that changes the whole direction of your life. And that's what's fun, honestly. That's what's fun about time travel stories. I mean, that's the Back to the Future 2 story where you have Biff going back in time, taking his younger self the almanac that has all the sports scores for the next how many years.
Right.
And so when Marty and Doc go back to 1985, Biff runs the world. You know, he runs the town.
Yeah.
And just that little change way back when. Of course, I have a problem with it. I do have a problem with it because as soon as you start gambling and predicting the future or whatever.
Yeah, it would change.
It would possibly change the way the sports run. You know, I mean, I think that once you start having someone become successful with these games, you might actually change the outcome of some of the future games, possibly. Mm-hmm. But, you know, that's just a minor ridiculous nitpick. I mean,
are you guys familiar with Ray Bradbury's Sound of Thunder?
Well, yeah, that's where the butterfly effect comes from, right?
I think it was
he steps on a butterfly.
I think in that story, what happens is they go back to dinosaur times, and they're only killing off dinosaurs that are about to die by other means. So, you know, they're dinosaur hunters, but they're not changing anything because the dinosaur is going to die anyway. And then one guy jumps off the track and you know, I think he gets killed himself or something like that. And that sets the whole thing. I
thought that's where he stepped on a butterfly.
I think that's a different story.
It would make more sense with the butterfly effect, but hey, you know.
Boy, they made a horrible movie of that, by the way.
What, the butterfly effect?
No. Well, I mean, that wasn't too great, but they made a movie of Sound of Thunder.
Yeah.
And it was awful. I cannot express how terrible this movie was.
Kind of like some of the original Star Trek movie, that bad?
What, Star Trek the Motion Picture?
Yeah.
Dude, are you seriously dissing on Star Trek the Motion Picture?
I am so dissing.
We are going to throw down, my friend.
You're talking about the 45-minute intro to the new Enterprise?
It was 6 minutes, and if you were waiting for that moment, you didn't care.
Hey, you have to pronounce it the way it's supposed to be pronounced. It's Star Trek, the
about to take you behind the shed, my friend. Okay, we can talk about that later.
We need to pray for Ben. Steve, I think Ben has like an idol in his life. I mean, he worships.
Forgiveness for that.
Do you have like Kirk pajamas or something?
Well, that's what they wore in that movie. It was pajamas, but no, we got to get off that movie because that's nothing to do with our topic here.
Yeah, that's another story.
That's a whole nother. Yeah.
Hey, I'm checking Wikipedia, and you are correct. There's a crushed butterfly in Sound Thunder. So I think I heard an audio version, and that's the one that's sticking with me. So maybe I was a little bit off. Definitely.
They made a terrible movie out of it, but the story itself actually has a great premise to it because it really is. They go back then to the future and everything's changed.
Well, I think what's interesting, we're talking about this time travel thing, and you know, off the air, Steve had mentioned something that was actually pretty interesting because it goes along with the free will, predestination, butterfly effect, all that kind of stuff, and that is prophecy. And in the Bible, Steve, did you have anything else to add to that?
Well, yeah, I mean, if you're talking about time travel, you know, originally, I guess there's other different things, but if you want to talk about, I mean, as Christians, you can go to the book of Revelation, where you have arguably, and a lot of people have different ideas of exactly what was going on there, but arguably, John, the author, is taken to a point near the end of human existence on Earth, and shown everything, you know, that what's going to be happening and everything, and translating it through his terms. So, you know, you don't have this full picture. He didn't take snapshots. You know, some of the stuff you could say, well, he's trying to describe this, or maybe he's trying to describe something, you know, like a nuclear bomb, but he sees it this way or whatever. And it's fascinating. If you look at it, I mean, it's a fascinating book, period. But if you look at it from a time traveler's standpoint and look at it that way, and you look at other types of prophecy where, you know, Isaiah is getting, you know, it brought up to heaven, or at least brought into a different realm where he can sort of see through time, or is given some sort of, a way of bringing that forward.
So are you saying that these examples in the Bible are examples of predestination, that they're seeing the future as it's going to happen? Is that what you're saying?
I think any time in the Bible when you see a prophecy isn't just foretelling or guessing what's coming up. It's forthtelling. It's telling what is already going, what already has happened, but you are physically in the past of that thing.
See, so, I actually, the majority, if you were to take all the prophecies in the Bible, the majority of the prophecies are either or prophecies. If you look into even... go back to Deuteronomy. Usually God says, if you do this, this will happen. But if you do this, this is going to happen. Right. So even if you take the promise to the Israel people in Deuteronomy, if you follow my ways, you'll be blessed, yada, yada, yada. If you don't, this is what's going to happen. And the rest of the Old Testament kind of shows you when they follow God, they are blessed. And when they don't, they are dashed and spread out. So I would argue that because I'm playing devil's advocate here, that the majority of the prophecies in the Bible are actually would lend itself to free will. Although, depending on your view of Revelation, obviously, you know, that is a whole different argument because people are post-trib, mid-trib, super-trib, well, whatever.
It's there's two arguments there, though. I think because the either-or prophecies – And I've never done like a huge study of this, so I may be way off. I'm hoping I'm not. But they seem to me that the either or prophecies are more immediate and more for the people of that moment. If you do this, this will happen. If you don't do this, this will happen. The more far cast prophecies, though, where it's like, here's, you know, Daniel prophesying about the history or the future history of the next, you know, 400 years of humankind's history. That's not an either or. That's not
actually a good majority of if you're talking about, you know, thousands of years or even several hundred years, then the either ors are very, because he said that back, you know, in Deuteronomy. And so if you trace that back over, you know, through the judges and through David and Solomon, I mean, that's a long period of time. We're not talking about, you know, a couple decades. We're talking a long period of time. So I would argue that it's very futuristic, not just, although it was as well immediate, but it also was long in the long view as well.
Well, but it's also personal, though. Maybe that's the distinction. Is that's a personal thing. That is a prophecy about the hearts of the people.
Right.
And then you have like Daniel, who his prophecy is about, this is what's going to happen in history. Mm-hmm. What's going to happen in history. Mm-hmm. And then you have John. This is what's going to happen in Revelation. He's seeing this is what is going to happen. This isn't a either or, although there is an either or, but it's a personal one. If you follow God, if you become a Christian, if you are following Yahweh,
yeah,
then you will not be a part of some of this.
Right. There are definitely, you know, examples of those types of prophecies, but I would say because of the existence of the other type of prophecies, you know, you either have to go, if you're depending on your predestination or free will background, if you see both of these types of prophecies, it would lend itself then perhaps some things are free will and some things are predestined. I mean, if that's what we're saying.
I think it is. And because I do think, I mean, what else, what other reason is there for knowing the future other than to make changes as you approach it?
Mm-hmm.
And again, it's a personal change. Going back to what we're talking about with a time travel story is about what the characters do. Here we're talking about prophecy. It's about what you're going to do.
Right.
You know, it's about what you're going to do with it. And right. I do think there are things that we can't change. I honestly, Christ coming when he did, I don't think anything would have changed that.
Yeah. It had to be. You know,
so do you think that then, you know, as far as time, do you think Judas, if he had a time machine, do you think he would be incapable of going back and changing what he did? Do you think he was predestined from the beginning of time?
That's a harder question, because then you're getting into the also in Romans where Paul talks about Pharaoh and how Pharaoh was put there for that purpose, basically. And it makes you ask, OK, so did Pharaoh have a chance?
Yeah. And I think when we're talking about biblical things like this, we really have to put a caveat on it and say, you know, there's no changing what happened. That's exactly how God wanted it to happen. you know, writing stories about going back in time and, you know, marrying Eve before Adam could do it or something like that. I mean, those stories are just so much complete nonsense because you can't contradict the Bible.
I like that idea, though. Stop it. I'm going to go back in time and marry Eve.
Yeah.
Right. Well,
that'll have to solve everything.
But again,
there's your time travel romantic comedy right there, man.
Obviously, if how you look at the Bible, if you believe in predestination or free will, affects how you interpret it. Obviously, we know that the Bible is God's written voice. We know that it's truth. We know all of that. However, if you sit there and say that Pharaoh did not have a choice, obviously, many theologians would argue. But again,
they'd argue both ways, though.
Yeah, of course. Absolutely.
That he has a choice. But at the same time, you give him 100 chances to make that choice. He's still going to make the same choice.
Well, and here's how I look at it.
That's if you believe in predestination.
Yeah, but I kind of look at it the way.
Even if you believe in free will. I mean, his free will would dictate that that's what he would do every single time.
Yeah, because that's the person he is that would make right. that choice.
Yeah.
But here's how I kind of look at it. As far as like Pharaoh or Judas or whatever, you have a God who's beyond time, which mm-hmm. is why he's able to enter into time and give people glimpses at, you know, future personal or impersonal.
Yes.
And so you have a God who puts Jesus in the point where he does, who's going to meet these 12 guys in the point when they do.
Mm-hmm.
And Judas is one of those guys. And God knows that Judas is going to do what he's going to do. Yeah. I think there's a difference, and this is where I'm kind of making a, you know, this is my statement, I guess, about predestination and free will, is we have free will, but God has seen what we're going to do. Now, does seeing what we're going to do mean we're predestined to do it? That's another question.
I think it's a perspective of things. We do have free will, and we walk through life second by second making free will decisions the entire time. But in God's perspective, he looks at history as like one swipe of the paintbrush, and he sees everything as if it were predestined. Everything is that way. That's the way it's going to go. It always was going to go. But all of that is made up of individuals making their free will decisions.
Yeah, I mean, I actually believe both. I believe that there's free will. I'm predestination. I believe maybe it's a different perspective. I don't know. I'm trying to figure out how trying to follow what you guys are saying. I would
have free will to say that.
Yeah, exactly. And you were predestined to repeat and affirm me. So, you know, I think that it's very interesting. One of the biggest issues, you know, because you guys know I'm a professor and I work with young people. One of the biggest fears that young people have is making a bad decision.
Right.
They, especially Christians, they're afraid that they're going to step outside of the will of God because they're so afraid to do something that they end up doing nothing. And I try to tell them, you go, you know, you're in college. Obviously, there are certain things that God, he will open up specific doors, but there are times when you don't know what to do.
Right.
And do you really think that, you know, if you're trying to decide to go to special courses during the summer or go to a missions trip in China, do you think if you were going to a missions trip in China, do you think God would be upstairs sitting there shaking his fist? I am so angry that you're up there saving people for me, you know? Yeah. So I just think that, it's an interesting conversation, especially talking about time travel and the paradox of free will versus predestination. And I just don't think it's something that we could fully, totally understand because God is outside of time.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think that honestly, we're probably on the same page here.
Yeah. I agree. I just like to ask you guys hard questions because
there are things we can't change. You know, there are things that are going to happen and it becomes our reaction to that we can affect. And so it's both, you know, But here, I'll make one last statement about a horrible movie that really ties into this. Have either
of
you guys
Star Trek the original? Is that the original? Are you finally
That's
admitting?
Okay, yeah, all right. You know, guys.
I threw that one in there just for you, Ben. I knew.
Yeah, and I'm just gonna throw it right back.
Why would they call it the motion? It should be the slow motion.
Exactly. Thing. Please don't throw it back, Ben. It stinks. It stinks so bad it will stick to me. Please don't throw it back.
Okay. Next thing. No. The movie Next. Have either of you guys seen this?
Next?
It's with, called Next with Nicolas Cage and Jessica Biel. All right. And yes, Nicolas Cage and Jessica Biel are the primary love story of this movie, which is just – it looks wrong. And it's as wrong as it sounds. The whole idea of the movie is based on a Philip K. Dick story, though, called, I think, The Golden Man, which is about a guy who he can see 2 minutes into his future. Mm-hmm. And the movie has a great premise. If they had any actor other than Nicolas Cage, and if they had tweaked the script so that the end of the movie did not just – the end of the movie was basically saying –
I haven't seen it.
Okay. I'm not going to tell you the end. I'm just going to say when you watch this movie – the end of the movie, it takes you on this ride, and then you get to the end, and it punches you in the jaw and says, "Tricked ya."
Ha ha, Nicolas Cage, ha ha ha.
Yeah, exactly.
Isn't that the same premise as Ted Dekker's book, Blink?
I have not read that book. But if it is, you know, Philip K. Dick was, you know, he was there first. But
okay, all right.
But the idea, you know, one of the things they say in the movie, and this is a great line in the movie. The line is, once you see the future changes. And that's, I think, in some ways what the prophecies of the Old Testament and of the New Testament are meant to be for us, is to say, you know, here's a glimpse into the future. And so as you are living out your life now that you know this, what are you going to do with it?
Yeah.
And I think that you becomes, you know, time travel stories where people are going into the future. That's what it is. That's, you know, you're getting a glimpse into what could be.
Okay.
And all right. So what are you going to do with that? What's your take home? You know?
Yeah.
And it's for the character, not necessarily for the viewer, although for some of them, they are, you know, this dystopian future where it's meant to make the viewer say, oh, wow, yeah, if I don't recycle, we are going to get taken over by robots.
But, what? It depends on the author as well. I mean, the authors, whatever they're putting into it is what you're – hopefully you'll get at least that viewpoint out of it. You know, we talked about H.G. Wells, the time traveler. And at the end of the story, he doesn't come back. So you're thinking to yourself, you know, well, is that a statement of, you know, nihilism? Is that, okay, he went there and they killed him and that was it or whatever? Or does the person who's writing it, the person who's in that, you know, the 1800s there, and he still has the flowers that were given to him as proof, is, you know, he's saying, you know, maybe that is just like the glimmer of hope that in the far-flung future, after all this is said and done, that there's still something good, you know, something good that we can take away from it.
All right, it's
more of a humanistic type of a thing, but, you know, go ahead.
I have two questions for you guys, because since you guys didn't really go with me on the going back to your own personal life, first question, if you could go back in time and witness one event outside of biblical events, because I know we'd all probably go there maybe, what would that one event be?
In cue the Dead Space.
Well, you know, you could text us these things 5 minutes before you say them, and then we could like prepare. I mean, there's so much.
Well, what's your answer? You thought of the question, so obviously you've thought of an answer. You tell us your answer first, then we can have time to think.
You know, I would probably go back in time and watch Abraham Lincoln through just various events. I'd just like to see, especially Gettysburg Address, I'd just like to see how he actually handled himself. And I didn't even think that ahead of time. That's the first thing that came out of my mind. So,
yeah,
I'm thinking of people I'd like to talk to. You know, yeah. I'd like to go back in time and actually like talk with like C.S. Lewis.
Yeah, he'd be great.
You know, I'd like to go back in time and talk with some of these scientists that I've come to kind of really respect in researching. Okay, self promotion again.
Time flies.
In researching time flies, I researched a lot of scientists who believed in God and in the Bible and surprising people that you know, like Galileo, who
surprise
he believed that the Bible was true.
Thanks for ruining it for me.
You know, I mean, yeah, there's a spoiler alert. But, I mean, we don't learn this because he went up against the church because he was a jerk. That was the problem. The problem was what he was saying.
The church of the time.
How he was saying it. No, he was a jerk to these people.
Yeah.
He treated them badly, you know, and so they were very, very happy to reciprocate. But and I'm kind of simplifying things a little bit, but he believed that the Bible was true. He actually wrote to his daughter. I have a book called Galileo's Daughter that's a bunch of letters, and he wrote to his daughter and said to his daughter, you know, I believe the maybe it wasn't to his daughter, but it was one of his letters. I believe the Bible is true. I believe science is true, and if they don't match, that's because we're reading one of them wrong. And right. And that was his whole thing. He was a Bible believing guy. He was also not a very nice guy, but
but most of the early scientists, I mean, they saw nature and they said, you know, this is proof of God. Now let's, you know, get down to brass tacks and do it in the laboratory. You know, I mean,
I'd love to talk to Charles Dickens.
Yeah,
he'd be an interesting guy.
So yeah, Ben has stretched this out to like 25 people. Steve, how about you? What's one situation or individual you'd like to observe from the past if you had a time machine?
Well,
I'd love to talk to Benjamin Franklin.
No,
oh my gosh, Ben.
I don't want to get too maudlin about this, but it's something that has very much affected my life in the last 4 years. My mom died 4 years ago, and it was sudden. It was pretty sudden. And there are so many questions after a person dies that you say to yourself, why didn't I just ask them at the time? And if I could sit down with my mom and, you know, discuss a couple of things with her, I think it would make my life seem different. And it might be, you know, okay, of course everyone would go back in time and talk to their mom if she passed away, of course. But the thing is with me, I've really thought about it. And, you know, there's tons of other wonderful things and all that stuff that I could see. And, you know, the 1939 World's Fair and all this really cool stuff. But the thing is, in my life, personally, me, just me, I could not take that opportunity and not go back and try to discuss these things with my mom and pass that opportunity up.
That's a good answer. Yeah.
It's a little maudlin, but
and I thought, you know, Dr. J, Steve just takes your questions and he just gives the most serious answer possible just to make us feel bad about our, you know, haircut answers and stuff.
That's why I go to you first to lighten the mood first. And then I go to Steve with the weight.
Dun, dun, dun.
All right,
Either that or I'll go back to 1979 and watch the cartoon Romeo and Juliet, which is Romeo and Juliet retold in a cartoon form with robots.
That we just,
one or the other.
What are you talking about?
Google it.
I should have stopped you right after your story about your mom.
Yeah.
Right there. All right.
I thought my Benjamin Franklin answer wasn't, you know.
My second question. Fictionally speaking, you guys have just got back from the future. What is one prediction that you would tell everyone that will eventually come true? It's our predictions, what we think will happen in the future for real. But, you know, in the context that we've gone there, we've seen it. So what is your prediction what the future holds?
Here's mine.
Just to clarify, you
go with your serious answer, Steve.
No, I'm just saying, just to clarify, this is something that we truly believe is something that's going to happen, that we
outside of biblical events, you know, can be about technology, people, society, countries, whatever.
But something we truly believe is going to happen.
Truly believe, your prediction.
Got it. Go ahead, Ben.
First, people are going to be so jacked into their computers that they don't even have to talk to each other. Like, they just got plugins into their own body.
Yeah.
And it's just it's taking this whole – they don't have to bend over their head over a little phone in order to do it. Like, right. they're just jacked in. Nobody has personal relationships at all. I shouldn't say nobody, but, like, that's
where we're headed. You'd be an outcast if you weren't plugged in.
Yep. Yeah.
All right. Steve, do you need more time or –
Well, he just stole mine, so...
Oh, yeah, right.
I can go if it'll give you more time.
Cheater.
You go, Dr. J.
Okay. All right. My prediction. I believe human cloning and cloning in general become a regular practice.
You just stole my second one, but go ahead.
I believe that in the future, I don't know when, but cloning animals, cloning people. Now, whether or not those people have souls, I don't know. I have no idea.
That's another podcast.
That's a whole other thing. But I think even cloning organs, I think cloning eventually will become a social issue, and it will become a social issue for the next 50 years this century.
It is now.
Well, no, but I mean like the actual like – actually, you're sitting in class with a clone, or your dog died, so you recloned that dog.
Right.
You know, I think over the next 20 to 50 years, I think that's a battle that is going to wage on. And I believe that the cloning, those who want to keep cloning and go there will win out. That's my personal prediction.
That's I could see that, yeah.
All right, Steve.
You know, I have some wish list stuff. But
flying cars.
Well, overboard. I mean, it's funny because my son is 10. So, you know, he reads comic books and he reads fantasy stuff. And he'll come up with these things where he says, wouldn't it be cool if, you know, this were true? And it just starts my mind clanking together, you know. And I'm like, no, it wouldn't be cool. And this is why. And, you know, I have to go into these long liturgies of, you know, destroying his childhood dreams. So I'm really trying to think of something where I think it actually would have, I truly believe that people are going to get more and more involved in themselves and, you know, and have impersonal relationships and, you know, the Facebook and all the Twitter and stuff. And it's just going to be about me to a point where, you know, you're just going to have a chip in your near your ear or a chip near your, you know, whatever. So you can just dial the people that you really want to know about or care about, and that's all you're really going to be involved with. And just, you know, I mean, I don't know how society will step up from there, but, you know, it'll be a whole different culture. I think that the cloning issue is something that I don't think America will initially be the ones that do it, but I think there's so many, you know, second world and third world countries, probably second world countries, that don't have the ethical standards that would prohibit, you know, something like that from happening. So I think it's just something inevitably that will come up, you know, maybe in 50 years or something. I'm going to say that sometime, and they've already started in a microscopic scale, so I can't, you know, I have some scientific backing for this, but at least extremely limited teleportation will exist. And right now it's extremely
like limited. Transporting, like Star Trek, transporting from one area to another, is that what you're saying?
Yes, I don't know if it's going to be humanly possible, like you're going to take a human body and do it, or if it's just going to be like, you know, I need that stuff that's in Chicago. Can you beam that over here? And it'll be the same stuff that you get, but I don't know if it's going to work with organic life.
That would be cool without airplanes and trains. Trains are kind of cool, but
yes. I don't know if it'll work with human life.
I have one more prediction. I predict that Strangers and Aliens podcast will become a hit. That's my second prediction.
Cool. I like it.
Nice. All right. Well, I think we need to wrap things up here. Yes. So I would like to thank our listeners for listening. And, you know, we invite you again just to join the conversation. Again, thank you very much. And we will see you in a couple weeks. I don't know happy what the next topic will be, but I'm sure it's going to be really, really good.
And happy Thanksgiving.
This is posting after Thanksgiving.
Oh, well, okay, then don't have a happy Thanksgiving. Whatever.
Merry Christmas.
Happy New Year. There. How's that? Fine?
It's that whole linear time thing getting in the way here.
Let's go back in time and fix that.
All right. God bless you guys.
Godspeed.
Strangers and Aliens is hosted by Dr. Jace O'Neill, Ben Avery, and Steve McDonald. The music was composed and mixed by Tim Luffel. Please visit strangersandaliens.com, where you're going to see my latest list of top 10 time travel movies of all time. Take a look, comment, and share them with your friends. Follow us on Twitter @StrangeAndAlien and like us on Facebook. If you'd like to email us, Our email is podcast@strangersandaliens.com. Thanks for listening, and remember, the truth is out there, sometimes.
Free will to say that.
Yeah, exactly. And you were predestined to repeat and affirm me. So.